Good evening, everyone, or good morning, depending on when you listen. Good afternoon. This show is heard all around the world. It could be any time, any place. This is Chris Sheridan from Get More Sports, Sheridan Hoops on Twitter, coming through this afternoon to talk about Anthony Davis trades and a lot more involving guys who could or could not or will be, depends who you talk to, playing for the Los Angeles Lakers as we go down the road and enter year one of LeBron James playing on the left coast. I'm joined today by a really good reporter, like a really good reporter who I've known for a few years, and I read his stuff on Twitter all the time because he's got his pulse, he's got his finger on the pulse. He talks to people that a lot of mainstream guys don't talk to, and he doesn't get enough credit, but he will going forward when his stuff all becomes true. And it's Brandon Scoopy Robinson. He's the senior basketball writer at Basketball Society and the host of the Scoop Beat Radio podcast. Brandon Scoop, good to have you on. You're joining us today from a real good steakhouse in Harlem. What's it called again?
PD Steakhouse. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, man, there's too many good steakhouses in New York. You lose track, you know? And I'm gonna have to check this one out, and I think the next steak's on me because you're coming on my show. It's good to have you on, first of all, and let's get right at it. I'm out with a column today about Anthony Davis trade possibilities because I'm extraordinarily well-sourced on this story. And Anthony Davis is going to be playing for a New Orleans Pelicans team this upcoming season, Scoop, that they lost to Marcus Cousins and they lost to Rajon Rondo. And they lost him in free agency and got nothing back. Rondo went to the Lakers to join up with LeBron, and DeMarcus, as he comes back from his torn Achilles tendon, is going to be joining the Golden State Warriors eventually. And the possibilities for Anthony Davis moving forward, possibility number one is the Pelicans play above their heads. And they're a playoff contending team, and Anthony Davis stays happy down there. And maybe they can bring in another piece or two to help him out because they're pretty thin right now. And then it's all good. But if not, this thing comes apart, and then certain teams are going to be in the mix. And right now, my sponsors at BetDSI.com are listing the Boston Celtics as the favorite, and they're listing the Los Angeles Lakers as the number two, and then three and four are the Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers, both at 8-1. Scoop, you were out with a story not too long ago that Kevin Durant's going to the Lakers. So I'm going to let you start, and you tell me what you know about Kevin Durant and what he's got in store. Of course, he's under contract with the Golden State Warriors right now, but he'll be free in the summer. So you take it from there.
Well, yeah. When you look at the situation, I got a text from a source last month, which basically said that Kevin Durant and LeBron James are looking to link up and start something special next season. And got a lot of hate, a lot of feedback, but that's part of the job. You look at the situation with LeBron. It's year one in Los Angeles. They did not cash in on the sweepstakes to get Paul George, and the Lakers still need a star or two or three. And you have pegged that Anthony Davis is the guy that could potentially go to the Lakers, if not the Boston Celtics, which you guys picked at first. But the funny thing is, I did hear from a source shortly after I put out that KD tweet. I can say on record on your show that Anthony Davis is a person of interest that the Los Angeles Lakers have, and it's no coincidence that you have a situation where Anthony Davis did sign with Clutch. And my source who actually shared that information about Kevin Durant as it related to joining the Los Angeles Lakers, that same source was the person who told me emphatically that Anthony Davis would sign with Clutch days before it happened, or actually a few days before it happened. And it just reminds me so much of the pulse that the Lakers have within LeBron James' camp a year before, having Kentavious Caldwell-Pope stay with the team, despite certain things that were going on, legal matters, that's commendable on their part that they kept their word. But there are so many different things that just seem logistically right. And so with your reporting and with my reporting, certain pieces of the puzzle, are starting to make a little sense a year before Kevin Durant becomes a free agent next summer.
A good 60% or so of the NBA is going to be free agents next summer, Scoop. And there's a lot of teams out there that have a lot of room next summer. The Knicks have two max slots, and they could sit Kristaps Porzingis the entire season this year, just tank the season, and then go get two max guys, have Kristaps back full strength, have Knox have a rookie year under his belt, and then see who they're going to get. Whether they get him through trades or whether they get him through free agency, they're going to have two max spots. So it's a waiting game in New York. It's a waiting game across the river in Brooklyn, because also the Brooklyn Nets have two max slots. The Lakers have two max slots coming up. The landscape of the NBA is going to change incredibly next summer.
Immensely.
But we're going into a season where there's so many expiring contracts and there's so many max slots. Where are they all going to go? And a lot of people want to go to the big markets and want to go to either LA market or the New York market. But also the Houston Rockets have a fantastic team that they put together, and everyone knows they're in the mix on the Jimmy Butler stuff as we speak. But when you look at a guy like Anthony Davis, he's under contract for a couple more years, and he's got a player option after that, so he's not driving the bus here. And we were in a similar situation with the Pelicans are driving the bus. We were in a similar situation with the Toronto Raptors, with the San Antonio Spurs, with Kawhi Leonard at the beginning of the summer. He wanted to go to one or two places, and that was it. And everybody thought, then he's going to get there. But guess what? Greg Popovich was driving the bus, and Greg Popovich traded him to the coldest place he could have traded him, outside of Minnesota, which would have kept him in the conference. So when you look at who's driving the bus here, it's Dell Demps and it's Tom Benson. Tom Benson owns the Saints and the Hornets. And the Pelicans. And he likes building his team around one superstar. In football, it's Drew Brees. In basketball, it's Anthony Davis. You think he would let Anthony Davis go if he thought there was no better alternative?
Well, I'll tell you this. I look at what you said about the driving of the bus and using the Popovich analogy. I think that makes plausible sense, in the sense of they hold the keys more so, meaning Dell Demps, than Anthony Davis does. I look at this situation with DeMarcus Cousins and him being displeased with just that whole situation with the Pelicans. I actually spoke with DeMarcus Cousins this summer. He was excited, and he talked about his own personal growth. And he looked at the Warriors situation and, has said to me in depth, and basically said that the Warriors are like Play-Doh. You can mold them into whatever you want them to be. And I look at the situation with Anthony Davis. I think that over the last few years, just that team has been disappointing because they haven't found a way to seal the deal. I was really rooting for them as an underdog against the Warriors a few years ago when they played them. There was no dice. And you look at this season, at least going into the free agency, you looked at DeMarcus Cousins and you thought there'd be a chance that he stayed. He ended up getting Julius Randle. And you just look at the situation with Anthony Davis. Is he really happy? People will always use the reference of, people will buy property out there and just assume. You know what they say about assuming? Makes a you-know-what out of you-know-who. That meant that he wanted to go to the Lakers. But Los Angeles does have two teams, just like New York has two teams in Brooklyn and New York and the Knicks. So the Clippers are a team of intrigue. We talked about Jimmy Butler. I spoke to about three different sources today. One source said to me that Jimmy Butler would be emphatic about re-signing with the Clippers if he shipped there. That same source also said to me, that he really wanted to go to L.A., but obviously with the LeBron situation. But ultimately, the Timberwolves, like Kawhi Leonard and like Anthony Davis, hold the keys to Jimmy Butler's future. You can kick and scream all day. They don't have to kick you out of the first day of school if they don't want to, So I think in that situation, there's a lot of moving pieces that still take shape. And when you talk about the Knicks in the future, I mean, Chris Haynes over at Fox Sports and Yahoo said on Fox Sports, he's a Yahoo writer, he said that, don't sleep on a situation where the Knicks can make a lot of noise. I'm still on the fence about that, but I do think that the landscape of the NBA is drastically changing. And if you thought 2018 was a summer to remember, man, oh, man, I can't wait to call Orville Redenbacher and buy some popcorn. You're going to need some popcorn.
People, fasten your seatbelts. Time is coming, and it's going to be it's going to be nuts. It's going to be kind of like 14 was when and like 2010, where both times LeBron were on the market. 18, nobody really was quite sure what LeBron was going to do until LeBron just said, "Hold the phone, I'm getting on an airplane and I'm going to Europe." Clutch Sports put out a press release, and that's the way that thing ended up getting announced. And that was the same day that he had met with the Philadelphia 76ers, and they actually felt good about their chances.
Go ahead. If I could interject for a second, that whole LeBron thing, just to be a little clear, I had actually written a story in June, or tweeted it and written a little bit about it as well over Basketball Society Online. I had reported that LeBron James was actually supposed to announce his decision of where he was going using a trailer. And the trailer was supposed to be used on Instagram TV. And the trailer was supposed to be Warner Brothers characters who were in a Space Jam film basically stealing sports memorabilia. Now, this isn't O.J. Simpson we're talking about stealing sports memorabilia. This is the good side. Basically, it was stealing Kobe Bryant memorabilia, stealing Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and more. And basically, LeBron was supposed to save the day using, or rather appearing in a Lakers uniform. And so I got a call the day after Clutch actually put out that press release, and they said that, in fact, LeBron changed the script based upon my reporting and that wasn't going to happen. And then you see last month Space Jam did come out. That was supposed to be a Space Jam trailer that was used. So I've been going through Twitter hell waiting for LeBron to put out this trailer. And in fact, you know, Space Jam was released, or rather the announcement of Space Jam was announced. And it's just a lot of different cool things going on. And you see LeBron releasing a lot of just intellectual property, whether it be through HBO and other movies and films. So this stuff is some outer worldly stuff that is more than just basketball. It's great for basketball, but, and, you know, for guys like ourselves that are getting this knowledge and things change, it's just a great time. Space Jam 2, LeBron James, the Lakers. How Hollywood can that be, man? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. People don't realize how much things change on a minute to minute and day by day, hour to hour basis in the NBA. What wasn't on the table, you know, I think a perfect example is what Miami's putting forth for Jimmy Butler. Miami, mm-hmm. for a long time, was saying, no, Josh Richardson, no way. It's not going to happen, not going to happen. Now, all of a sudden, reporting came out today in the Columbus State papers that Josh Richardson has, in fact, been offered to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But that those trade talks broke down over whatever they broke down with. But, you know, it sounded like a situation where both sides got fed up with each other and hung up the phone. And a lot of times that happens, and they take a day off and they go back and they try to do it again. So, you know, Jimmy Butler is going to end up playing basketball somewhere this season. It's just, you know, it's where. And if it's going to be one of his preferred destinations, then he'll sign long term. But you're talking about a guy who's, he's coming up on the wrong side of 30, for one thing. He's had two knee surgeries, and he wants the next deal. So Jimmy Butler, 4 years from now, is not going to be Jimmy Butler 3 years ago, and he's been an intricate part of all of Tom Thibodeau's teams. You know, he was in Chicago with the Bulls, and he is or has been with the Minnesota Timberwolves. But, you know, the time has come for that relationship to end for the various reasons that are out there. But I want to go back to Anthony Davis, because right now Anthony Davis, he is the co-favorite right now to win MVP. He's 3-1 along with Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're both 3-1. James Harden's a little bit behind him. He's 7-2, and LeBron James is 4-1. And then you got longer odds on a bunch of different guys, and some decent wagering opportunities. I mean, Russell Westbrook at 18-1 is not bad. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns was 100-1. He's dropped. He's at 45-1. When you start looking at guys who are going to be impact players and MVP caliber candidates, what names jump to mind for you, Scoop?
This season or beyond?
Oh, just in the upcoming season.
I mean, I still don't sleep on the notion that LeBron James is still an MVP candidate. You know, I think that he's in a situation where he's really got to guide that team. He's got to guide that team. I think, you know, Brandon Ingram is a special talent. I've said this since the summer. He is right now everything that Kevin Durant would be on that team, a Kevin Durant light, if you will, a guy that can take fallaway jumpers, a guy that can create his own shot and does it looking effortlessly. And, you know, LeBron still got to be in the ears of Lonzo Ball, Rajon Rondo, Kyle Kuzma. But I think he's the sharpener in the shed that sharpens all the tools, because he's been there, he's done that, and he's got T-shirts and keychains as proof. But then when you look at the situation in Houston,
he's got jewelry. You know, we got jewelry too, you know.
There you go.
He got some rings.
Drake said it best. He said, "I got some really big rings. I got a really big team, and when you transition into really big rings and really big teams, that's something that the Houston Rockets genuinely want to do. I mean, within one game of beating the Golden State Warriors, I had Irv Rowland, an assistant coach with the Houston Rockets, on the Scoopy Radio podcast this summer. And Irv was emphatic about, had, you know, Chris Paul really played in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Hey, could you legitimately have had a Houston Rockets playing against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals this past season? He was emphatic that it's quite plausible that that could happen. So that being said, if I was Houston, I'd be motivated. If I was James Harden, I would be daggone sure motivated to make some noise in the NBA season. The reigning MVP from last season, James Harden has something to prove this season. And I look at that situation in Boston with Kyrie Irving, a guy who got hurt and didn't really make any noise in the playoffs. But you had a Jason Tatum who really showed that he was a bona fide star. And they really got to see the proof in the pudding, and he came in a little early. So I think Kyrie Irving is going to have a chip on his shoulder and going out and producing. And because some could say that the Celtics don't need him. You know, you have a Rozier, you have a Gordon Hayward, you have a Jason Tatum already. He's got to share the ball, but he's got to put up points, and he's got to really prove what he's going to do. He still hasn't signed anything, although he verbally committed at least on tape. He worded it quite well, if you ask me. I think he'd get off on a grand jury the way he worded it. But I think at the end of the day, those are the guys that I see: LeBron James, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and also Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is a big year for the Greek Freak. You're on the cover of NBA 2K19. Start playing like it. You saw flashes of that brilliance this past season. His favorite coach, Jason Kidd, was out in Milwaukee, and you have a Mike Budenholzer who all he has to do is say, get on the court, put up numbers, and the stats will be there. So I look at Giannis, I look at James Harden, I look at LeBron James, and I look at Kyrie Irving as those names that stand out to me this coming season.
Yeah, those guys are all chalk. And Kyrie, you mentioned, I've talked about this on the show before. Kyrie is right now sitting at 40-1 odds to win the MVP. And you're right about exactly how he worded that, and you're right about the grand jury. Here in New York, the expression says, well, there's an expression in New York that's been around forever: a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich. And it's true, because if you're a prosecutor and you can't get something past the grand jury, then you're not a very good prosecutor. So, but Kyrie's sitting at 40-1, and it gives me an opportunity to plug our the guys paying the bills. This podcast lives on getmoresports.com, and you can always find it by following me on Sheridan Hoops. But we're sponsored by BetDSI.com. This is one of the biggest offshores in the world, folks. If you're listening from the United States, you go to BetDSI.com. If you're listening from overseas, you got to go to BetDSI.eu. Take it to the same site. And they're offering a real nice bonus. If you deposit up to $1,000 and you use the bonus code BBALL1000, that's all capital letters, BBALL1000, they'll match your initial deposit up to $1,000 US. So that's a hell of a lot of free money, and then you can go and have some fun throwing your money around here and there on whatever you think. If you had taken the over-under on the Giants yesterday, everybody took the under, and then the Giants lost on what looked like it would have been about an 87-yard field. Scoop, how much air did they have in that football down in Carolina that guy kicked for the game winning, man? That thing would have been good from 80 yards. That was a special football. No Deflategate happening in Carolina, but you know, let's keep it on the NBA though, because that's where we live. And let's start talking about championship contenders that nobody's talking about. I ran into Jermaine O'Neal at a Big Three event out in Brooklyn over the summer, and he said, "Man, nobody talks about the Utah Jazz. Just nobody talks about this team, and they beat Golden State last year 3 times, once again by 30, and once by 19." Mm-hmm. And they kept the same team together over the summer. And so they've already shown they're equipped to beat the Golden State Warriors, because they did it last season, and they did it with the same team they got now. So put aside Utah for a second, but give me somebody else that nobody's looking at who you think might be a bigger contender, whether it's East or West, than people are currently talking about.
The Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. And you look at the 76ers.
You're not going to get an argument there in Boston and Philly, I'll tell you that.
No, not at all. I went to college right outside of Philadelphia at Eastern University on the main line, right down the street from Villanova. And Philadelphia has been championship city at least this year with the wins of Villanova in the national championship game, and you know the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL. But bigger than that, really and truly, when I look at the Philadelphia 76ers, they exceeded expectations. Last year, I had been pegged as at least an eighth seed in the NBA playoffs, and they exceeded those expectations. But I think in the off season, I like the addition of Wilson Chandler to an already Sixers core that has a Ben Simmons, NBA's reigning rookie of the year, a Joel Embiid, who I could see playing somewhere between 60 to 65 games this season. They still got to rest them in. More than anything, I think Markel Fultz is going to come in with a new attitude. Talk to Jamal Crawford on the Scoopy Radio podcast this summer, and really and truly, Jamal talked about how he, Zach LaVine, and Markel Fultz worked out together over the summer, and there's really a determination and a focus that Markel has going into the season. The one drawback that I have about the Sixers is they weren't able to find a buyout to get Jamal Crawford. They didn't buy out Jared Bayless. You had the Colangelo controversy, but they hired Elton Brand. He has a lot to prove this season. But when you look at the Boston Celtics, you see what you have already. Going into the regular season, Gordon Hayward got hurt the first game of the season against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving ended up not making it to the playoffs. And then you have an emerging Jason Tatum. Not just that, you have a supporting cast of Al Horford. You have a Marcus Smart, who if he could just stay away from arguing with J.R. Smith, he'll be all right. But I think that the Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens have something to prove. And, hey, if they don't make it to the finals this season, bro, they have cap space, draft picks, and a potential NBA Coach of the Year for the foreseeable future in Brad Stevens. But I can't leave out the Houston Rockets, man. The Houston Rockets, although they lost Luke Bamute, they lost some other guys.
Trevor Ariza, as well.
Had Robert Horry on the podcast said to me that, you know, that's going to come back to bite him in the butt. You can't leave out premium shooting and Carmelo. Listen, this guy gets a bad rap because he took money and because, you know, he went to the Knicks and the Knicks mortgaged their future with him. But Carmelo, last I checked, can still shoot. And a reunion with Mike D'Antoni is great for TV, man. They added Brandon Knight. I just really want to see them win something. Everybody likes an underdog. When you talk about the Utah Jazz in that situation, the one thing I admired about the Utah Jazz is the fact that they weren't scared against OKC. They weren't scared, and I think that that says a lot. I think that Donovan Mitchell reminds me so much of a young Dwayne Wade, fearless, didn't come in with people checking for him like that. I had Eric Woodyard over at the Deseret News. He's a beat writer with the Deseret News, and he told me at the beginning of the season, man, pick up this guy named Donovan Mitchell. I'm like, who? He said, pick up Donovan Mitchell. Chris, my biggest regret is that I didn't pick him up on my fantasy team, and it haunts me in my dreams even this summer. That would have been great for my fantasy team, and I think Donovan Mitchell's going to pick up where he left off at.
Yeah, I watched the Thunder play the Hawks last night, and I said to myself, I'm picking up Dennis Schroeder, man. I know he was playing against his old team, but damn, he was lighting it up, and he was doing it effortlessly last night against the Atlanta Hawks. They're going to be the worst team in the NBA, and he had a little motivation thing going, but I'm picking that guy up in my fantasy draft. Talking about the odds, you know, the Celtics right now are only 5-1. The Golden State Warriors are heavy, heavy favorites at -265. The Sixers are at 16-1. Some crazy odds, though. The Spurs are 100-1. The Thunder, who there's a lot of sharp money coming in on the Thunder with the over-under on the win total for the season. They're at 38-1. The Bucks with Giannis are at 105-1. Jazz are 65-1. The Indiana Pacers, who I really, really like a lot because they got their business taken care of quick. They only lost one guy in Lance. They're 130-1. So, you know, these are wagering opportunities that are out there for anybody around the world. But in the United States, you know, gambling, we got this misplaced Puritan thing going on in our country. But gambling's not illegal anymore. Sports gambling is just not illegal anymore. It's legal in 5 states. It's in Nevada, New Jersey, Delaware, West Virginia, Mississippi. They're all online taking live sports betting right now. Pennsylvania has given out a couple of licenses already, and they'll be those places will be up and running within a couple of weeks, and we'll see how many of the states come in month by month, week by week as the year winds down. But it's not illegal to gamble in the United States anymore, and so, you know, it's the type of thing you want to have fun with. If you you're listening from Utah and you like them at 65-1, go to betdsi.com and open an account and take them. You know, put whatever you want on them. It's not illegal, folks. You know, in Utah, you got to drive to Wendover to place a bet. You got to drive to one of the border cities in Nevada, but you don't have to do that anymore. You can do it online. And going back to something you hit on, Scoop, about assets and tradable assets. This is something I hit on in the column about Anthony Davis. You got to make the money match for one thing if you're going to get Anthony Davis. So they would have to put a Marcus Smart into a deal if they don't put in, you know, Al Horford, who's at $29 million, or Haywood, he's at $20 million. But, other young pieces that Danny Ainge could put in would include Terry Rozier or Jaylen Brown. I don't think he'd give up Tatum. But get this, he's sitting on 4 first-round picks in the 2019 draft. They got their own pick, and they got Sacramento's, which is valuable. It's protected, but only for the top one. And then they got Memphis's, which has got top 8 protection, and they got the Clippers' first-round pick, which is top 14 protected. So you're talking about a guy who never makes bad trades. Danny just doesn't do it, doesn't make bad trades. And he's sitting on 4 first-round picks. Now, I know the Sixers, Sixers didn't buy out Jared Bayless for a reason, because you can make the money work with that guy. He's got an expiring deal at $8.6 million for this year, so you put him in a trade and you start to make the money work. And then if Markelle Fultz has his jumper back, he's certainly an expendable piece, because he's sort of superfluous to Ben Simmons at a certain level. They're both point guards. They've played him Brett played them both together a little bit last year, but it's far from a body of work you can make a long-term judgment on. But when you look at what Danny Ainge has in the cupboard, can you see anybody beating him out? If there's a player, and he loves Anthony Davis, I've been hearing that for years and years. He loves this guy. Can you see anybody outbidding Danny Ainge on whether it's Anthony Davis or anybody else that he has his eyes on?
If I'm going with my first, I'm going with Los Angeles. But to be honest with you, Boston looks good too. And this is the other thing I'll drive home. 2019 is going to be so interesting because so many people are going to change hands and go other places, switch conferences. I've been preparing myself this summer to see another Lakers and Celtics rivalry. You saw it back before I was born. During your time and my parents' time, and then you saw it kind of resurface again in 2008 and 2010, 2011, one of those years when they played again. But I think what makes this so special is Los Angeles and Boston are just story franchises that are trying to create this narrative of just a dynasty and trying to compete and win. I mean, when you look at the dynasty of Magic and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Byron Scott and James Worthy on the Lakers side. Then you look at the dynasty of Bird, McHale, Parrish, Corporate Maxwell, all these guys. And then you look at it in 2018, 2019, we're on the brink of a potential rivalry once again. Like, my sister's grown now. And, in the 90s when she was born, she knew of the Chicago Bulls and what Michael was able to do. And this was when, the Celtics and the Lakers were in down years. Now you mean to tell me that Kyrie Irving, who says he's going to stay, and LeBron James, who, was his former teammate in Cleveland, is in L.A., and then we have the rumors of Kevin Durant potentially going to the Lakers, and, some people say that, the Warriors may end their run because Klay may leave or KD may leave, and then you have all these supposeds of Anthony Davis potentially going to Boston Celtics because Danny Ainge likes it. If I'm a basketball fan, which I am, I'd love it. And from a business perspective, the NBA is loving the gift that keeps on giving. So with your question, Boston or L.A. makes sense for either team with Anthony Davis. May the best team bid or trade.
Yeah, Los Angeles would have – the Lakers would have to give up a significant number of young players. I think that list starts with Ingram and Kuzma. Like you said, these guys, if they respond to LeBron's leadership, they step up their game, they start working out, the way that Kobe works out, the way that LeBron works out, mm-hmm. they're keepers. If they, and if they're not going to work as hard, then LeBron's going to say to Magic and Kobe, okay,
what do we got on the table, and who's expendable based on what I've seen over, whether it's just the preseason, whether it's 20 games into the season, or whether this is up around the All-Star game in February when the trade deadline's coming around. So, I said this all summer long, what the Lakers look like now doesn't matter. What the Lakers look like on March 1st when their playoff roster is set, that's what you can judge them on. And then you can adjust your picks then. Is this a championship caliber team? I don't think they are right now, but they got so many guys on one-year deals that they've built in flexibility to go after the guys they want to get when they want to get them, and they have the means to get them because so many guys want to go play with LeBron. You agree?
Yeah, I think what you're saying to me makes a lot of sense, and I'm a hip-hop guy, and Biggie Smalls made a song called The Sky's the Limit, and the sky's definitely the limit for either team, particularly the Lakers. And this year, it really was an experimental year. I think that's why LeBron is paying so much attention to films and enjoying the digs of Los Angeles. But in the foreseeable future, he's got a four-year deal. If I'm not mistaken, he can opt out after the third year, correct?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at his contract. He's going to stay there. His dream is to play with his son. So if the one-and-done rule is finished by the time that that Bronny is finished with high school, then LeBron can go pick his next team, whoever drafts LeBron James Jr. That'll be where he ends up after 4 years with the Lakers. But I got a pencil in for 4 years, and I think it's going to be a heck of a 4 years in Los Angeles and around the NBA. Like you said, it's the gift that keeps on giving, and with so much cap space and so much flexibility built in, not only in the big markets, but even in the smaller markets too. You know, there's a lot of smaller markets where the fans are just nuts loyal. San Antonio, Sacramento, Sacramento's a long way away. San Antonio is not, but Oklahoma City, they're nuts about that team. You know, Memphis, they're a long way away, but they're again, it's a single market team, so they're nuts about it. And, everybody tells me there's no talk about this, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the NBA expand to 32 teams, go back into Seattle, go into Vegas. There's too many good players that are having to earn money overseas because NBA teams are focused on too much, I think, on two-way players and developmental league players when they could go out and get real players that can help them win a championship. So, we'll see where the NBA goes in the next year or two. And but for now, the focus is on Anthony Davis, and I just want to go over the odds. Again, these odds are courtesy of BetDSI.com. That's the show's sponsor. It lives on GetMoreSports.com, of course, but the sponsor is BetDSI.com, and if you use bonus code BBALL1000, they'll match you up to $1,000. BetDSI.eu overseas. Right now, they're listing the Boston Celtics as even money to be the team that Anthony Davis is playing for on opening night next season. The L.A. Lakers are at 3-2. The Pelicans are at 6-1. The Knicks are at 8-1, and the Sixers are at 8-1. And then you have the field, and I don't think the field is going to come into play because I think he's going to end up on one of those five teams. Scoop, I want to give you another chance to promo your podcast and where folks can hear it.
Oh yeah, you guys. More than anything, follow me on Twitter at Scoop B. That's where you can find all my links and podcasts. But if you subscribe to the Scoop B Radio podcast, which received 2 million downloads last year, and as of July of this year, 1.5 million downloads. You can subscribe at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn App, Stitcher App, or simply visit scoopbradio.com. We'll have Chris Sheridan on in the next couple of weeks as well. We got to make sure we get his expertise and his journey. I definitely admire your journey and like what you're doing. And Scoopy Radio is where you catch everything. And, yeah, that's it, man, Scoopy Radio.
Yeah, it's good to have you on, and you can follow me on my Twitter, Sheridan Hoops. That's still the same Twitter I had as when I was running my website, SheridanHoops.com. Enough bad things can't happen to the guy who put me out of business, Eric Schneiderman, the former New York State Attorney General, who's got his own set of problems. But things happen, and you move on. So we're going to move on, and we're going to close it out. Scoop, thanks for joining me on the podcast. This is Sports Betting Tips with Chris Sheridan. This is episode 21, and there'll be a lot more to come, folks. So enjoy and share. And that's a wrap, man.